This is episode 435 of The Journey, a conversation on leadership, culture, and creativity. My name is Vidal, and I want to thank you guys for giving me a few minutes on this beautiful, beautiful morning. It is a gorgeous morning, and it's been an amazing weekend. I'm so glad to be home. I'm so glad that I get the privilege to speak to you. But more than anything else, I am very, very glad that I get to read the Bible with you. And this morning, I just want to take a few minutes to continue the conversation over the book of Timothy. We talked about this a couple of Sundays ago at our church. We are speaking on the Holy Spirit, the person, the role of the Holy Spirit. And when you read the words of Paul speaking to this young pastor and church leaders in this time in human history, I believe that we have a lot to learn from them. I believe that the Bible is very clear in how someone like Paul is going to instruct the church, specifically on the issue of leadership, specifically on the issue on how to remain faithful when it comes to the teachings of the Bible, when it comes to the exercising and the crystallization of these teachings, whether it's at a personal level, communal level. And again, I just want to communicate to you, and I do hope in the sound for this broadcasting is good enough that you guys can follow me, and hopefully my English is also good enough that you can also follow me for the next few minutes. But again, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 4 and following, where the Bible says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather, this is what he says, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. So in general, basically what he's describing on this work of the Holy Spirit, how the Spirit of God moves in the life of people. He's using the analogy of soldiers, which obviously 2000 years ago, these communities, individuals, they saw military life as a lifestyle. I mean, this is what people did. They went to war. That was part of their heritage and how they did life. So using the analogy of a soldier, it was very understandable. It was easy to connect for people, specifically on how he is describing the civilian life, that how a soldier does not entangle in civilian life. He's not condemning civilian life. He's not making a dichotomy, a division between, military life being better than civilian life. He's just basically helping and trying to get this understanding that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to help us to remain focused, especially when you're in warfare. I mean, when you're in warfare, when you're combating, when your life literally is in the line and other people's lives are on the line, you have to remain focused, which is a hard thing to do most of the time, to remain focused, to have the sense of priority. Now for us on a holiday, because this is a special day for us as a nation, it is Veterans Day, it's November 11th, and I'm thinking of the redemption of government, I'm thinking of the redemption of law enforcement, I'm thinking of God's blessing upon the things that we do, quote unquote, in the secular, such as, again, government, law enforcement, politics for that matter. And obviously, as a pastor, I do not tell people how to make political decisions, but I can tell you that I do have the ability, and I am commanded by the Bible to share the role that not only the church, but in this case, also governmental, law enforcement communities, why they exist and why we embrace them and why we celebrate them and honor them on such a beautiful day like this. And I can simply tell you that when the Bible describes that the soldier, no one who is serving as a soldier entangles in civilian life, but instead is focused on simply please his commander. The commander in chief for us, again, just speaking in the generality or in the overarching picture, whether it's government, church, family, personal, communal life, however we're going to see it, is definitely God. And now here's the beauty of God. God is not anti-government. God is not anti-law enforcement. I mean, he created those things. I have the understanding that the angel that was set at the garden at the very beginning to protect the garden was the first imagery of law enforcement. So we definitely benefit as a nation. And I personally, we are, I will say what, maybe 14 miles away from the border. So, you know, with Mexico. So we benefit from having a system that allows us to be protected and protect the sanctity of life. So all that I'm trying to tell you is that the role of the government, as is the role of the church, they do exist to proclaim, to enlarge the fame of the God who creates both. So the issue is not separation of church and state. I believe the issue is when the church or the government separates from God. And that sounds very ironic and sounds like a contradiction of terms. But again, Paul is facing this reality from leadership in the church 2,000 years ago. And again, the role of the church is not to distance itself from government or a holiday like Veterans Day, but literally it is to bless, it is to redeem, it is to see everything in the holistic view that potentially can be redeemed. And again, we're so blessed to honor our veterans on a day like this. So if you are one of those individuals that serve our country, if you are the parent, if you are the son of maybe a grandfather who served and is part of this beautiful, beautiful community of veterans, we definitely want to honor you and remind all of us that the win is when we, Paul is saying, when we please the commanding officer. You know, for us, obviously, that language, when it comes to the life of the church, is Jesus. When it comes to the life of the government, still is Jesus, for that matter. And then he basically says this on the next verse, verse 5. He says, similarly, kind of like just using, you know, that as an intro on verse 4 and then moving to verse 5, anyone who competes as an athlete, he moves from soldier to athlete, does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. My son, my youngest, is a basketball player, and he is only a few minutes away from heading out to practice. It's about 5:30 in the morning right now, so he's got to be at school by 6. So he's about to come through from downstairs and come into the kitchen, get the keys, and then head out to school. And I'm thinking about, you know, as an athlete, and had some scrimmages games over this weekend and competed against a couple of high schools here in the area. And basically, I'm thinking of these words of Paul using the athlete as an example that has to compete within the rules, because the win is very clear. The win is obviously to have victory at the end, and that requires to play within rules. So here's what I want to just remind ourselves when it comes to rules, because I know rules, man, they're typically perceived negatively. You know, we think of Veterans Day. Once again, the beauty of this nation, the freedom that I personally have to broadcast something like this without getting in trouble with the law. And you know, I just read an article that 70% of Christians around the world, they've been persecuted, which implies we represent United States and the minority. It continues to shrink, that minority of people who have the freedom to express religious liberty, for that matter. Rules are necessary. And in this case, when it comes to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because that's the conversation behind this, is that it's one of those things that when it comes to rules or laws, they're called laws or rules because they're unmovable. They're not supposed to be compromised. Now, here's the difference when it comes to the Holy Spirit. The difference that the Holy Spirit makes and does, besides the ability to follow those rules, is to see them beneficial versus controlling, detrimental, manipulative. And I'm bringing this up because it begins with a heart. It begins with a desire as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, that when it comes to the law, when it comes to the scriptures, when it comes to the instructions of God, Christians, they don't have to follow the rules. They get to follow the rules. And I use the analogy many times, and I'm going to use it one more time. Again, my son had games, basketball games on Saturday. I didn't have to go, but I got to go. It's a privilege to see him play. It's a privilege to support him. It's a privilege to be there. It's a privilege that I can experience that. It's not that I have to, but I get to. So translate that into the component of rules when it comes to following Jesus. Now, the beauty of this is when our hearts have the disposition to follow those rules, not because we have to, but because we get to. I believe what happens is that now the perception of those rules change. And when I say perception, I'm speaking of the component that now we see the rules not as something that is again, controlling our lives, but something that is protecting our lives. So again, the game of basketball is physical, and without the rules that are necessary in there, I believe players can potentially hurt themselves and hurt others. And you want for these individuals to enjoy the game, to compete at the highest of level, and obviously to win, but those rules are necessary to protect us. Now, if we're honest, once again, we are celebrating Veterans Day. Obviously, countries, nations who do not follow the rules, do not, you know, value life. I mean, I can go on and on some of these issues that eventually we as a nation were blessed to have this amazing, you know, component of law enforcement, military life. And one of the distinctiveness of military life, one of the distinctiveness of those who have served our country as veterans is that they learn to follow rules. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to be veterans today. And once again, those rules, they exist to protect us. I was in Mexico City for a few days over part of the end of the weekend, beginning of the weekend. And when I came back, I have to go through customs and border patrol and, you know, and follow the rules of having a passport and things like that. So again, they do not exist to control us, they exist to protect us. Finally, what I want to say to you is he moves from the soldier to the farmer, I mean, to the athlete and now to the farmer. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. And again, some of us, we have the imagery of, again, a soldier, which is easy to understand, of an athlete, and eventually of a farmer. But then he closes with a beautiful, beautiful statement. That's the one that I want to leave before you for the remaining of the day. And that's verse 7. Reflect on what I am saying. I want you to reflect over this. Now, many times in the Bible, when he gives a command like this, it's a command that he is not simply wishing and hoping that the audience, or in this case Timothy, the church, will actually start doing, but maybe it's something that they've been neglecting. They haven't been meditating, they haven't been considering Paul's words as authoritative, as rules, are as something that thus says the Lord. So now Paul is reminding them, hey, I'm speaking on behalf of the Holy Spirit, I'm speaking on behalf of something that is greater and bigger than you and I. And he says, when and as you meditate and reflect on what I'm saying, here's a win. For the Lord will give you insight into all this. The Lord is going to empower you to take the conceptual, the doctrinal, the agreeable statements of the analogy of a soldier, the analogy of an athlete, the analogy of a farmer, and actually take it into an experience where it produces what it's supposed to produce. It produces the life of the community of the church that is blessed by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So today, as we celebrate, as we think about the beauty of this nation, as we celebrate of the freedom that we have as a nation, can we just remind ourselves that all of those things, as important as they are and as beautiful as they are to enjoy and to honor those who have sacrificed, those things are means to an end. The freedom that we have in Jesus is not simply to, again, to have the ability to choose and elect, you know, our leadership and the things that we do as civilian people, but it is literally the freedom is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and to receive the insight that comes from Him. That's freedom. Freedom is the ability to hear from God that in spite of where and what is happening in our government, in our culture, in our families, and again, I just told you that 70% of Christians have been persecuted. And it seems to me that in those contexts is where God is giving more insight about Him. So today I just want to thank you again. If you're a veteran, if you are part of that beautiful community, tribe of law enforcement, thank you for your service. Thank you for bringing and giving, I will argue, some of your best years of your life. At the same time, I just want to reflect for a quick second over my journey in my life, because one of the guys that I had the privilege to work with 22 years ago in academia, you know, working through some of the Baptist universities, Howard Payne and some of the universities, is my brother Daniel Rangel, a good friend of mine. I got to work with him, got to know him, his wife Liz and the kids as well, and tragically he went to be with Jesus yesterday. And again, we celebrate, we honor, we see the legacy of the gospel working as a denominational leader. And again, I'm having this kind of a mixed emotion this morning because we know that at the end we win, and yet we will miss him. So have a wonderful day as we pray for the family, and you have the best of this celebration on a holiday. God bless you.